Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watched deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show.
Z&T's third annual Chakra 2 Halloween Stream Along Spookathon.
Doth surrender up his soul, so he will spare him 24 years, to give me whatsoever I shall ask, to tell me whatsoever I demand, to slay mine enemies, and aid my friends, and always be obedient to my will.
Wake up, sleepyheads. It's party time. I didn't realize that was a bookend. It's what...
Oh.
Gene Simmons' character says.
Yeah, I didn't...
But they were delivered so differently in tone that...
Yep, correct. I never would have.
Yeah. Also, it's just not an inspiring rally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wake up, it's party time. Oh, you just identified me as a sleepyhead. I'm not ready to party. I didn't read any trivia.
Yeah. I read, a lot of it is just like, this, oh, it's the first, it's the directorial debut of Charles Martin Smith. So
Charles Martin Smith, who you may know, little dude, happy little dude who sings and capers. He's in Deep Cover, which is a film I really enjoy that Z doesn't like as much.
Apparently. Well, it's just...
Come to find
you
out.
You like it so much, and you're always like, yeah, let's rewatch it. And I just...
Yeah.
The first time we watched it, it felt really hard to get through.
Really?
For me, personally.
Yeah, it was the opposite for me.
I know.
I was expecting it to be more tedious than it was to watch for me. He's in The Untouchables.
You would, if you don't know who he is by name,
Deep Impact.
You would see him and you would be like, oh, this guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen,
I think he like eats pizza in Deep Impact. He eats pizza in something.
Oh, hello there, little fella. Do I know you? Oh, God, in such a hurry.
He always makes it look really, I'm like, every time I would see him eat pizza and whatever that thing is, I'd be like, I want pizza. Pizza. Oh, that's something we can do again.
I know. Literally the other day, I was like, oh, it's almost pizza season.
Because it gets so hot. Like, we can't make pizza in the summer because we use the oven, and that's it. Just absolutely not.
Let's see what else he's directed.
Because Keith makes it from scratch, to be clear. Like, he, like, cooks the fucking... He cooks the fucking
dough. I made the dough from scratch.
Yeah, he makes the dough from scratch. Yeah, and then we add ingredients to the top. That's making pizza from scratch.
He directed 3 episodes of Space Above and Beyond.
No way.
One episode of Buffy.
Oh, wow.
A little movie called Air Bud.
How did he get... Wow. Space Above and Beyond was the shit for me. I was obsessed with that show. It didn't even make it a full season. He also directed
Dolphin Tale. Not to be confused with A Shark's Tale.
I've never seen Dolphin Tale. Or A Shark's Tale.
Clearwater, Florida.
You've seen Dolphin Tale?
Yeah, I saw it on a plane, I think.
Oh, wow.
With Harry Connick Jr. And... Or is that Shark Tale?
Shark Tale is a...
Cartoon.
Cartoon. Animated. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dolphin Tale is based on a real story. Yeah, Harry Connick, Ashley Judd, Morgan Freeman. Chris Christopherson?
Damn.
Oh, good old Frances Sternhagen.
Who's that?
You know her from every Stephen King movie.
Oh, shit.
And Raising Kanan. We really got to do that for the pod. We should do a Lithgow month.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Of course.
How have we not?
Because we need it. Cause,
we started.
Cause
it's wasn't where time. We started.
It wasn't time yet, you know?
We just went straight for the Keaton.
Yeah. God. Our first episode was a Lithgow.
Oh, and you finally watch...
Or is it Lithgow? Shit. Lithgow? Lithgow. Fuck me. Sorry.
This is only based on listening to him on Marin.
That's fine.
And one time he says his own name in that whole episode.
Yeah.
That I think I listened to specifically for that reason. Like when we watched Simple Men and I tried to find interviews with Karen Silas.
Yeah.
That's my typical route.
Yeah. I dreamed that I met her like a couple nights ago. Oh. I dreamed and I was like, how do I be cool? How do I be cool around her?
How do I get into those pantalones?
Yeah. I'm like, how do I be cool? And
How do I swerve?
Trick or Treat, though.
AKA Rag Band.
Yeah, that's apparently what it was called.
That was the title card that came up when we watched it.
Yeah.
And honestly, a much better title, more fitting title. I mean, like, I don't know what I would call it that is, like, would be a great title, but, like...
Rag Band is not the best.
Well, it's what he calls himself.
I know.
At least.
That's also Trick not or Treat. The best.
Doesn't is make like, any okay, sense. Well, yeah. It takes place on Halloween, but.
What was the one from the title in Mexico?
In a couple, I think this was specifically Spanish-speaking countries, it was like Death at 33 RPMs.
Which no, not is that awesome. One. There was one that was like Night of the Witch.
Rock
or
of Halloween rock, basically. No,
there was one that was like Night of the Witch or something. Or
yeah, but that's what, like, in Brazil, they call it rock. Witch's Night Rock, basically.
Yeah, but is it?
What?
And how do you say it in Spanish or whatever?
Well, Portuguese. I don't know.
Portuguese.
Portuguese pronunciation is.
That's Nick fine, Sergeant. But you said it last night, and I was like, "Oh, that one sounds cool."
It's like Rock do Dia de Bruxas or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bruxas.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Cool. I don't know Portuguese pronunciations. So.
O Rock do Dia das Bruxas.
Yeah. I know there's...
I like Death at 33 RPMs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know
That's pretty good.
I know you do. Yeah, I feel like that one I'd be like, what are... I understand
that. Very much sounds like a giallo title. Like that would be an Italian 70s movie, you know?
I just would be like... I just can imagine that one not hitting well because people would be like, what? Why? Yeah.
1986, it stars the kid, what's his name?
This was a good movie.
Yeah, dude.
This was a good fucking movie.
It really is. It really deserves to be on those lists of movies you've never, best movies
truly,
you've never heard of.
This is what I'm saying. I was like, I know there it's going to have some kind of substance. Like, it's not just going to be like all shit and like, it's not going to... Now, here's the main thing that I find impressive.
Okay.
There was no real logic to any of the things that happened.
Correct.
And they do it in such a way that it doesn't
you
fucking
don't
matter.
Care.
You do not give a fucking shit.
That's
I
how
think
you do
because
it.
they always manage to make his song part of whatever's happening. Mm. So it doesn't really matter what's going on. There's a common element
there's
of
a
his
loose
song is
logic
right.
to it. Yeah.
So it's like it's like these things aren't going to make sense. So you don't need to make them make sense.
Right.
There's just a common thread.
Yeah.
Which happens to be there needs to be electricity and there needs to be this guy's song. All right. That's cool.
That's a whole like micro genre, I feel like, of monsters / villains that involve electricity.
Yeah. What was the one that like we were
Malignant.
Watching? Yes, Malignant, where there's electricity. It
Suddenly,
doesn't explain.
In one
it's
scene.
Never explained. No, they do it a couple times, okay. But it's like not consistent,
nope.
And it doesn't make sense. And also, it's a stupid fucking movie. I don't know why people like it.
Guys, I'm going to go on record.
Yeah, please.
This is a sclusy.
Sclusy.
I think James Wan is kind of a hack.
Keith is not like James Wan. He really doesn't.
The Conjuring was okay of movies that are...
Right.
I thought Megan was overrated.
That's fair.
I think people liked the premise more than...
That's fair.
And that carried them enough, which is weird to me.
I think it should have been way more violent.
Agree.
And bloody. And then I would probably be like, I want to be Megan for Halloween.
And apparently that one gory scene was not in the theatrical release or something?
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Come on.
Well, they could
the
like
one
cut,
good kill is the neighbor. And I don't even remember how it happens. So, like, never mind. This movie has some amazing effects.
Yeah.
The girl who dies in the backseat of the car getting... melted ears and fingered by a ghost or whatever.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Mixed feelings on that because the consent is confusing.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know that it's...
She seems to be enjoying herself.
She's enjoying it. I don't know that the monster's doing it. I think the monster just appears. I don't necessarily... Because she's like... You don't see the monster.
I totally forgot about the actual physical monster. I was just thinking
about
the green
ghost
the green,
okay.
stuff.
Yeah.
Which literally forms a hand at one point.
Oh,
like,
it does?
I think
I
so.
Didn't
to like pull
that.
Out her undies.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You see titties in this. That's cool. A couple times.
Yeah, it's not super gratuitous. Well, that scene is kind of gratuitous, but.
The pool scene.
The pool scene.
I like the pool scene because it's a bunch of teenagers in a public pool and there's just like topless.
Well, I believe they're in the high school gym.
That's fine. But it's like, there's so many people there.
There is. I love how it's not in, I don't know if this was the intention or not, but it's as, like the sound of it and the look of it is exactly right.
Yeah.
It doesn't look really that appealing. It doesn't look fun. Dark. It's
yeah.
He immediately gets shit on and almost drowned. Anyway, so our protagonist is an outsider, a nerd, a dork.
And calls himself Ragman.
Calls himself Ragman. He idolizes Sammy Kerr, who's a big ass rock star.
Who went to that his
who
the
came
same
from
high school?
His own, yeah,
that he did.
Yeah, and he idolizes him because he made it out and. Is an iconoclast and all this shit. And had to appear before Congress.
Yeah.
Eyewitness News was able to obtain footage of Sammy Kerr before a Senate committee inquiry into rock pornography last summer.
If you were a parent, would you want your kid growing up around rock music? Rock musicians? I mean, with that kind of value?
Would you want your kid growing up around politics, politicians, and those values?
Mr. Kerr, this
what
is not...
What I'm saying here is you cannot legislate morality.
Mr. Kerr...
Or music,
there is no
or people's minds. Or we'll bring you down, man.
I have a teenage daughter.
We'll bring you down.
Yeah, so he writes these diary entries, basically, that are letters to Sammy Kerr.
Yeah.
We find out early on that Sammy Kerr has died at a hotel fire.
Are you okay?
No.
I had a hotel fire. So the interesting, or like something that's like, you know, he like idolizes Sammy Kerr, and then, but like, he was supposed to play at their high school, and they like banned him or something. Yeah, there was like a parents group. Yeah, there was like a whole thing. And so he like
also, I feel like that's kind of smart that they don't show that. Mm-hmm. Like, you get a talking head on the news, right? You get that one lady. Yes. But you don't see like meetings, and you don't.
Yeah.
So I think that was a smart decision.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
No, it was really good. There's so much of this, like, that I was like really kind of. This could have been done so poorly.
Oh, yes.
This could have ended up so badly. So kudos to Charles Martin Smith for getting the right performance. And something that I really enjoy is that Eddie,
mm-hmm.
There's character development with him. Because he goes from being this kid who's like, who's a loser, who doesn't want anything. Like, he doesn't care about anyone. He's just like, all he gives a shit about is Sammy Kerr. And all he gives a shit about is like the music and like all this stuff. He's like obsessed. And then stuff starts happening and he like steps up to like.
Yeah,
figure shit out and try to save the people he cares about.
And he even, you know, you get the one scene where he tries to save Tim, who's the main bully.
Yeah.
From.
Right. Yeah.
The wrath of Sammy.
Right. And like all this stuff that he does, it's like he, you know.
Mark Price.
Mark Price is the name of Eddie.
Eddie Weinbauer.
Oh, yeah. Weinbauer. Did you make it with Weinbauer? Oh, man.
Weinbauer means winemaker.
Interesting.
I did watch... What, are you all right?
I'm fine.
I did watch... Spend a little time watching Dee Snider. Dee Snider's testimony to the Senate...
Oh, nice.
...committee hearing. Senate
committee hearing?
Yeah.
You should insert some of that. I've never watched it. You asked me yesterday, you were like, did you watch clips from that? And I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that happened.
Well, and I still don't know all the details, like how
this
I got.
This is like the Satanic Panic stuff, right?
It's during that. Yeah. Like it's the committee that is the reason we ended up with explicit lyrics stickers.
Okay.
And all I really knew was, I don't know who else testified, but apparently all these people were called upon to testify. They didn't volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
But Dee Snider, Frank Zappa, Bob Denver. And I think they all were like, no, this is stupid. Like, whatever you're proposing is dumb.
Yeah.
But I watched a video that pointed out, like, it was like basically a short synopsis of how Dee Snider just made them look real stupid. Part of it was that like Zappa and Bob Denver showed up in suits, you know?
Yeah.
And Dee Snider showed up
as
a rocker.
Yeah.
You know, like, and delivered a very eloquent and articulate testimony and then answered the questions and was like, no, that's, you know, because you know how these things are. We see them all. They're a dime a dozen now, thanks to how the politics are, like 1986, only worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of the PMRC was the Parents Music Resource Center. I don't know what they did before this. This is how they got famous. One of the prominent members was Tipper Gore, wife of Al Gore, who was a senator at the time and on this committee and part of the whole schmeal. So,
the beauty of literature, poetry, and music is that they leave room for the audience to put its own imagination, experiences, and dreams into the words. The examples I cited earlier showed clear evidence of Twisted Sister's music being completely misinterpreted and unfairly judged by supposedly well-informed adults. We cannot allow this to continue. There is no authority who has the right or the necessary insight to make these judgments. Not myself, not the federal government, not some recording industry committee, not the PTA, not the RIAA, and certainly not the PMRC. I'd like to thank the committee for this time, and I hope my testimony will aid you in clearing up this issue.
An uncomfortable truth.
An inconvenient truth. An uncomfortable truth.
An itchy...
Yeah. No, but Sammy Kerr, I think the character, something that I appreciate is, I like when Eddie goes to see the
DJ.
DJ, thank you. And who's played by Gene Simmons. Mm-hmm. And
in an homage to Wolfman Jack, he wears a cowboy hat.
Right, yeah. So he's like, Eddie the kid is like, you know, talking about how he can't believe, you know, like Sammy's gone or whatever. Like, oh, you know, like how the world is, you know, like whatever. And Gene Simmons' character is like, yeah. he was just angry, and he did this to himself. Yeah. You know, like,
yeah, the kid is like, yeah, they shut him down, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
This isn't, you know, because all he knows is what the news is saying, which is he died in a hotel fire.
Right.
So he's like, oh, it's because they didn't want him
to
play and,
right,
you know, spinning off into some conspiracy kind of stuff.
And then Gene Simmons' character is like, man, he did this to himself. This was a long time. Like, he was like, this was inevitable for him, you know? And I think that that's something you don't really, they don't go into a long explanation of it. Mm-hmm. But then when he's listening to the record the first time, you see essentially that, like, he started the fire. Like, that's what it looks like. Because they're
in the showing, vision.
Yeah. They're in the room, and he's surrounded by fire, and everyone's on fire around him, and he's just in the middle of it. Like, you know, like, they're, you know, it's the implication is that it's like some kind of satanic ritual, assuming. And so I'm like, oh, they're literally saying, like, this was his own fault. Like, he is the one that did this, and he, like, it's this whole thing that's like, but they don't go into a lot of detail. They don't over-explain. They don't explain it at all. They just imply stuff. So you're left sort of with, like, oh, I wonder, oh, is this what they mean? Is that what they mean? I'm, like, assuming these things. They don't flat out say it. I'm making assumptions based on the little bit that they give you, and the little bit that they give you is just enough to keep you satisfied, but not to feel, to not feel like they're feeding you, you know, like
the answers.
Right. They're not feeding you the answers, but they're not spoon feeding, but they're also not, it doesn't feel like there were like reshoots to like explain something. There didn't feel like there was some sort of like long winded, like.
Well, I also appreciate how it manages, besides that scene that you referenced, which is also.
I loved it.
Impressionistic at best.
You know what I mean? Yeah, for sure.
Like, steers clear of like Judeo-Christian kind of imagery or like references as far as like what is going on in the supernatural aspects.
It does a really good. I mean, I could see people being like, oh, this is satanic, and like, that's cool. Right. But like, there's no reference of like Satanism or anything like that. They're like, they don't talk about, maybe they say stuff about the devil, maybe, but like, I think it might be even referenced by like other outside sources.
Yeah, it's more like people say, if it's there, it's like,
right,
some people think this is satanic.
Right. And so that was like something that's like really interesting. I think it's a smart move, especially for 1986.
For the moment, smart movie.
And like, I think it's unfortunate that it didn't get
And you could see that, like, people would be like, see, this is exactly this shit.
Right. It's unfortunate that it didn't, like,
yeah,
hit. It was perfect. It was perfect for the time. I mean, I could see it failing because of that as right. well. But it's too bad that that's what happened. I was very, like, engaged.
Yeah, it feels like the messaging is pretty great.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And also I liked the idea that it was like, it's not the music, you know, like the music yep. isn't going to turn you into
yeah,
this.
Right.
It's like the influence is not these people. And it's not even like, you know, because when they show like Sammy Kerr talking to, you know, the Senate or Congress or whatever.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's not saying anything. You know, they're like doing, it's the thing where they're showing like people not understanding music. You know, it's that saying, you know, it's just a clip. So it's not like he's saying anything completely like, you know, overwhelmingly brilliant or something. You know, it's just a clip, but it's just like him being like, you don't understand, you know, and also like, yeah, that like the implication is not that. Yeah, it's just it was really good. Like the music didn't cause kids to go crazy. Like the music didn't, you know, like listening to the music, you know, it hurts them, but not because the music is bad.
No.
You know, I don't know. It was just it was very interesting, and it was a really it wasn't too heavy-handed.
No.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was a lot of fun, too. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And is. I like that Sammy doesn't appear until, like, at least halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you see him, you know, in clips and stuff like that. But and you see him in posters and stuff like that. You see him. But, like, he doesn't, like, take corporeal form until at least halfway through the movie, if not further. And then he doesn't like stick around. Like he comes and goes, which is another thing I appreciated is that it wasn't something, oh, I'm in the scene when they turn the power off.
And he, yeah.
this shit was good. This shit was
the
good.
The VFX are great.
They are. They really
well
are.
As well as the makeup, you know, like the.
Yeah.
It has a lot of that. I don't know what the term for this is. I need to learn it. But like where they do the animation on top of the film.
Yeah.
Like I don't think it's directly animated. You know, it's not direct animation. But like.
Yeah, they draw it on or whatever. Yeah.
So there's a lot of like.
I can't remember what it is.
One of the best usages is of this technique is in Highlander 2, as you may recall, in the climax of Highlander
2. Oh my God.
But they do it a lot with the electricity effect.
I really enjoy that sort of like that like blue glow sort of like mm-hmm. effect. I like when movies do that.
Almost always blue or green.
Yeah, I like it.
Or swirl it.
I feel like that is something that might have been an easy color.
Yeah.
You know.
It seems like in my recollection, it's always like one of three colors. It's like RGB basically.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that, but that's true.
I don't know if that's cost cutting or a limit, a technological constraint or what. Once I figure out what it's called, maybe I'll learn about it.
And you can read more about it in the Bible. I'm trying to think of, I like forgot we were doing this today, so there's not a lot of trivia. A lot of the trivia is just like, this person was offered the role of Sammy Kerr. I'm actually glad that they did not go with any like actual
Absolutely.
Musician for it, because I think one, it would have hurt the, I mean, the guy that, RIP, the guy that plays.
Tom Fields.
He.
A dancer.
Oh my, I could
tell. And you could tell. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Seemingly doing his own shit at every
he
point.
He was just.
Like doing flips and cartwheels and shit.
Ham with this shit, and it was brilliant. And it never would have happened if they had gotten fucking Gene Simmons or whatever. Plus, they would have wanted it to be like very apparent that that's who it was. So right. It would have been like
the makeup would have been,
it would have been stupid. And yeah.
Also because of that, like it's clearly they're not, he didn't sing. Somebody else is singing. Right. I think it's Fastaway. Whoever's singing for Fastaway is doing the lyrics of the Sammy Kerr songs. And that's great because it frees him up to be way more physical than he would.
And yeah, it's just so, it doesn't, sometimes when they do the thing of not having a person you know as the character who's idolized, it takes away.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because usually they don't. They're not as charismatic.
Correct.
Or something.
Not but the case.
No, no.
Not at all the
Far
case.
Far beyond.
1,000% believable as this character. Yeah. Absolutely. I could see him being this. And not to say, I could see him being a horrible, satanic, fucking, you know, nuisance.
No, it's really in the physicality, and which is perfect because it's, he doesn't have to do the lines.
He's a performer. It's very clear that he's a performer, and that's exactly what was happening.
I like that it, for me, it recalls...
Hair metal in the 90s is performance. It was a lot of performance.
Yeah.
And, like, in a good way. I'm not saying that to, like...
No, no. And for me, it connects more to, like... And this happened... I mean, this is was the sort of evolution of things, like Kiss and shit like that.
Yeah.
The roots of that stuff is, like, glam rock of the 70s, you know, when there was a lot of gender bending and...
Yes.
You know, people doing the crazy shit they could think of.
Right.
To, and bringing it into a rock context, right?
Like, right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, I like that it brings that more than the...
Yes.
Gene Simmons of it all.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Which, you know...
And I think Gene Simmons does fine in the movie playing the
oh, yeah,
radio person. And... I loved Ozzy Osbourne in this. I did not. I was like a little like, ugh. He plays, I would never have guessed that he played. I mean, obviously you see him, you know it's him. It's not, I'm not saying like he goes under the radar. But like, if you were like, what character do you think he's playing? I'd be like, obviously he's going to be playing like a metalhead. He's going to be playing like someone involved in the scene. A road. He's going to be playing some. No, he's playing a fucking evangelical, like charismatic, like whatever. No, he's a priest. I think he's a fucking priest or something. But he's like, he's who's decrying all of these, you know, horrible lyrics and like going off. Absolutely hilarious. It's so good. It's so fucking funny to me. And he does so great.
He does. He's actually intelligible. So there's that.
I know.
That's impressive.
Which is what we like. Keith was just like, oh, that's ridiculous. And I was like, I could understand what he's saying though, which is impressive.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Because I used to watch the Osbournes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. And that was 40 years after this movie. they did it with Ozzy. There's a couple. The second one, when Sammy remanifested, Sammy swipes at the TV screen.
Yes.
And it.
It gives him like a fucking.
Ozzy's like, whoa!
Yeah, yeah.
It blurs the image and.
Yeah.
But then when he pulls the old woman out of the TV, and then it's just a giant piece of charcoal, basically. Oh, it's brilliant.
I was like, yeah.
What I love about that is they didn't take like a full mannequin and just char it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's.
They, oh my God. They, there's
decisions
so much
like that really make it.
Yes. Yeah. Really, truly, like.
But it's a notch above your standard exploitative.
Yes.
Genre film.
I think what it is,
what did I miss?
Is that it's going for the shock, but in a realism sense. Like it's trying to surprise you. Like you don't guess that Sammy is going to reach into the TV and pull out. You never guess that. So that's the shock value. Mm-hmm. The shock value isn't in how, like what happens. That seems more like if you charred someone, they're not going to be like a fully like animated, like bloody court. It's just like, it just completely burns her alive. And she's just like crumbles. And then, you know, like they didn't go over the top with how they did that. So like, it's shock value, but it's shock value done in a really smart and thoughtful way. And that's something that you don't see very often. Like, it's really, it was really.
I was watching some Big Questions with the Dead Milkman.
Okay.
Which is something I've been doing this year.
Yeah.
And the other day I saw a clip featuring the Cramps. Mm-hmm. In the Cramps video, Lux Interior said, we want rock and roll to stay sick. It should be...
Yeah.
It shouldn't be healthy. It should be dirty and, you know, like...
Yes.
Transgressive, basically. And then Rodney Anonymous from the Dead Milkman also said something similar about... He's like, horror movies like rock and roll should be transgressive. And when you throw a lot of money at it, it usually doesn't remain that way.
Right. Yeah.
He was talking about a specific contemporary film, but, like... I think this film does it is a good example of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and both.
Right. Yeah.
It talks about both.
Yeah. Right. And it's like,
I mean, it talks about genre movies by being one.
Right.
I'll have to agree with you. We have some pretty ribald stuff here. Those rockers really have a strange sense of humor, don't they?
I don't even think it's a sense of humor. I think they're just out and out sick people. I mean, and they're trying to make everyone else around them who listened to their music as sick as they are.
I think this is what is so like interesting about it. It takes the idea that like rock music is harmful, and it plays on that in a way that's a little too over the top. Like, it's gonna melt your brain. It's gonna, like, it does all these things, but it's not. You don't watch it and think, oh yeah, this could really happen.
Right.
You know? So it's taking it and it's making sort of like satire almost out of the fear that rock music is going to, you know, is Satanism and it's going to ruin your life or whatever. It's going to take control of your children. And it shows, one, that even if it's bad, there's still autonomy and your kids still have total free choice. And two, how ridiculous does it sound that rock music is going to do all this shit, you know? And like, these people have control of your kids. And it very much is showing like that rock music being evil doesn't actually mean that your kids are going to do something awful or going to make bad choices because of that.
Right.
They're still people and they're still able and capable of making their own decisions.
Also,
and
I like that
it shows that Eddie is absolutely brutalized by these people.
Right, exactly.
And he still chooses not to be a total monster. And I think that's a really important thing. Like, but he's bullies. Not like, he's never like, sorry, I just want to say that. He's never like, you know, like, oh, I was a creep and I'm, you know, at the end, he's not like, I no longer listen to rock music or like, I'm healed of the, the sin. No, nothing like that happens.
No, he says, wake up, sleepyheads.
Yeah. He's still like the dude from the beginning. He's just, he has more control over his life now only because he's choosing to do that. And, you know, making that choice and all that shit. And he's, you know, but like, yeah, I don't know. It was, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to point out that, like, I mean, this isn't, it's coding, you know, more than anything explicit. But like, the bullies are preppies. They're yuppies. I mean, I guess you see the dude's car, which is a new, I mean, I think it's an American made car, but it's big and it's new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
Versus Eddie's beater ass jalopy. So, and the fact that, like, he's a loner. He has one friend that we're aware of who's also very nerdy coded.
Yeah.
Also a great character.
Yes.
That dude's one acting credit.
I know.
Oh, what was I going to say? And yeah, they don't ever beat it. Seemingly, they just harass him and abuse him because of how he dresses and what they think he listens to. And I like the scene at the pool party where the one girl comes up to him and is like, quit being a creep. Why are you such a creep? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she doesn't ever say anything specific.
Look, doesn't it get tough maintaining this level of creepiness?
Creepiness? Get lost, metalhead.
Yeah, I mean, why can't you act normal?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, if you weren't so creepy, you would know what I'm talking about.
Get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah, she doesn't say anything specific, but I like her response is, see, if you weren't so creepy, you'd know what I was talking about. And it's so fucking, right, or something like that. It's so
circular.
It's absolutely brilliant. Right. But like, it's that thing of like people being like, I don't like you. And you're like, why don't you like me? And they're like, obviously because of the way you are. And it's like, that's not an answer. And they're like, no, it actually is an answer. And you're like, it's both. It's not an answer. you think it's an answer, but you're not actually, you know, And it's like, I don't know. I think it does a lot of, like, there are tropes in it.
For sure.
But the tropes don't feel like.
Tropas de cord.
Tropa de Cordois.
Yeah, I don't like most of the stuff with whatever the girl he has a crush on. Like her, she's not a character. She's one and a half dimensions. Not even two.
I like that she started being nice to him before.
Yes.
All the shit.
Yes. Agreed.
And she didn't like that everybody was bullying him.
Leslie.
I was like, Jordan or
something?
Well,
the actor's name is Lisa, so that doesn't help.
Leslie.
Yeah, in the opening sequence where the dudes take his towel and then throw him in the girls' gym.
Oh, that's right.
But like while a voiceover is happening, that was really effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she gives him the Polaroid later.
Yeah. Yeah, that scene, I forgot about that scene. Yeah, that was like a... It feels especially cruel because they don't really do anything other than, I mean,
right.
They take his towel and then they throw him into the gym where the girls are having, like, doing volleyball practice. And he doesn't have, so he's completely naked and trapped in the gym and they, like, either hold the door shut or like lock the door so he can't get back in. So he's just completely naked. And one of the girls takes a Polaroid of him. And this is when Leslie, I think this is where we're supposed to, and this is like very, this is like right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't like something where it's like, this is half an hour into the movie.
No, this is like establishing.
Right. And this is where we see Leslie, not for the first time, but this is where we see that she sees him and she's like, this is really awful. Like you see her face being like, you know, watching the girl take a Polaroid and just being like, oh, like this is awful. Mm-hmm. And then she sees him for the first time, like, or she sees him like the next day or something. And she's like, hey, I have something for you. And she hands him a cassette tape. And underneath the cassette tape is the Polaroid. So, and again, they don't say anything, but the implication is that she's discreetly like giving
him, I asked you, I was like, what was the cassette about?
My assumption is that she's discreetly letting him know that she's giving him the copy, the only copy that there is, because of Polaroid, you know, you don't have more, you know.
Yeah, right.
The good thing about physical media, you know, is right. like she's giving it back to him. And it's, there's no, he, what I liked about that scene is that he doesn't, like, sometimes, I don't know why they do shit like this, but sometimes I think they show, like, the embarrassment factor, and so, like, they'll get mean or something instead. They'll, their response will be like, yeah, well, I don't, you know, like, yeah, well, you suck anyway, or they'll do something.
I mean, he does do that after the pool party.
He does that after the pool party, but he because doesn't he thinks, know. Right.
Right.
And then she, oh, yeah, she invites him to the pool party, and he's like, okay, that's understandable, though. But yeah. when she's handing him this, he doesn't overreact, or he doesn't react with embarrassment.
True.
He's just like, oh, thanks. And then he just puts it in his like backpack or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's
I mean, like I feel like he's kind of standoffish, he's which a is little, understandable.
Right. But there's no, he doesn't bark at her. He doesn't right. overreact. He doesn't react poorly. And I appreciate that as like.
Yeah. There's a lot of, you yeah. to be said about like.
The performances are something that are that I appreciate in this movie is what yeah, I'm trying I mean, to get
as a lead to like
yes
his voice is so kind of high
yeah
and it helps the character like there's like no machismo mm-hmm. coming from that character
yeah
and no I mean, like, the one scene where he's got his...
Yeah.
After he first...
His fingerless red gloves or whatever, and he's got the fucking headband on and shit. Oh, God.
I mean, it's the one scene where he's, like, trying to... He's, like, complimenting her or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's, like, the closest thing to anything.
That's the scene I'm talking about. He has a red... He's like, hey, those are those new pants?
I heard about you and Tim. Are you okay?
Am I okay?
He doesn't remember. It's traumatic amnesia.
Oh, wow. Your outfit. I love it. What are those?
Jeans.
They're you? Gotta go. Ciao.
It's so stupid. But what I like about it is she's like...
Yeah.
What the fuck? And it's the only time he ever really acts that sort of like...
Yeah, and the interesting thing is like... He starts having this... So I don't think we got to the nuts and bolts of when we first see him talking to Nuke, DJ Nuke.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You mentioned that like he's like, here's the last.
Oh, right. Here's the last.
It's the only pressing of the last song that Sammy recorded. I'm going to play it at midnight on Halloween.
Yeah.
But he's like, gives... Eddie, the actual
yeah,
record.
Final, yeah.
He was like, well, what the fuck? I thought you were going to play it. He was like, well, I got it on tape. You
know, he's that's my favorite where he's like, this is the only copy of it. And he's like, but you have to play it at midnight. He's like, yeah, I have it on tape. He's like, I made a copy of it. And I was like, is that the only copy?
I know. They made a big deal about it. Yeah, right.
Fucking hilarious.
Anyway, so he's at home and he puts it on his hi-fi and he catches what he assumes is backward masking. And so yeah. he goes over to the record and starts, this is the hardest part for me about this movie is when he plays it backwards, he always does it weird.
He goes, we're, yeah, he goes backwards and then forwards and then backwards
yeah,
again
why?
Every single time.
Why?
I think that's done to emphasize and I don't know. This was 1986.
Right.
So some people might not have realized what direction it was supposed to go in. So I think when he's doing it there, it's like he's not doing it slowed down. Yeah. He's doing it okay. in reverse. So they're showing
it can
it
also
both
be,
ways.
Yeah, yeah, like a visual cue to sync the sound.
Yeah, maybe.
Design aspect of it so you can tell that it's supposed to be, we're hearing it
yeah.
played in reverse. Yeah. I don't know. But that was, for whatever, my... totally typical brain structure had a problem with it.
That neurotypical brain of yours was like,
He can't believe his luck. He's like, he's communicating with his dead idol.
Well, the first thing it says is like, when he plays it back, it says, now you were like, what did it say? And I said, I fucking have no idea. But apparently it said, nail them all.
Okay.
or something like that. Yeah.
That does come back, and that's something that...
Yeah, because he's like, he says to her after the pool, he's like, I'm going to nail them all. And okay. She's like, what does that mean? And then when he listens to it backwards, it says nail them all. And he's like, oh, it's a sign.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's convinced that it's talking just to him.
Right. And then it does seem to literally respond.
It says, it says, hey, Ragman.
He asks it a question like it's a magic eight ball. And then
he goes,
he says, anyway, I do like the arc of like, it's like, oh, fuck yeah. Now I'm a badass.
Yeah,
because
he gets
his comeuppance against the bullies.
Fucking.
But then it's too far. Like, he loses control and Sammy's manifesting. And he's like, oh, no.
The fucking scene with the mopping.
Yeah, hold on.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to say,
I like that structure of like, it's benefiting him.
Right.
And then pretty quickly he's like, whoa, I'm not in control. This is a bad element that I got to warn people about.
Right.
And try to curtail. He's not writing it.
Yeah, he doesn't write it as far as he can. It's almost immediately he's like, wait a minute. No. Yeah. They get their comeuppance, and then he's
basically
like,
it's when Tim comes and he's like, what the fuck did you do? What's her name is dead. And he's like, what?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a little
dead.
Bit before.
She's in the hospital.
Yeah, it's somehow. It's not there. It's not that. He knows that. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. It's around that point because he's like, okay, that's enough. And then Sammy's like, Leslie. And he's like, no,
oh,
she's
yeah, right.
not part of it. And he's like, all of them.
Right,
he's
right,
like,
right,
nail
right.
them all. And he's like, no, not all of them. He's like, that. She's never done anything. And he's like, no, it's all of them.
And like, maybe he's going to go after his mom even.
Yeah, he's like, tell her to come in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Leslie. Man, now come on now. Leslie has nothing to do with this. She set you up.
No. She didn't. She had no idea.
Leslie! No!
Let her in. We'll nail her too.
Would you recommend?
You son of a SOB. son of a bitch. Yeah, hell yes, I would.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm also excited because this is the one we knew the least about. Well, yeah. I don't really know anything about. Sometimes they come back, but.
Me neither, yeah.
This was the one with the biggest potential to disappoint, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting though, because we don't. All three, other than Event Horizon, which we have seen and are very excited to rewatch.
Amen.
The three others are movies we don't really know much about. We've never seen them.
I've already forgotten what we started with.
We started with Night of the Creeps.
Oh, yeah!
Which was good.
Hell yes.
And now I'm like, oh, man, I was the most excited for Sometimes They Come Back.
And now it's the one.
And now I'm like, it has the most potential to be a...
It's been upgraded to the most likely to
disappoint.
Yeah, I'm
like, oh, no. But maybe it's going to be like Hartley Fest, where... It nothing sucks.
Yeah.
Which will be just unbelievable. Yeah.
Last month was good too. I mean, Men at Work was the only stinker.
Men at Work was a doozy. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's been but I definitely the fucking scene.
Yes. He sets up the bullies. I didn't understand. He seemingly, part of his plan was all the tables getting moved through the halls. I just assumed that he knew that was going to happen.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he knew specifically was going to happen.
He sets up the mop bucket and the rolling chair.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Go on. You're in pain.
No, I'm just thinking about, I'm going to, in the slideshow, there will be a still of the guy falling out of the door and over the stairs. It was so fucking, we had to go back and watch it again because it was so fucking funny. It was so fucking funny.
It's so good because it's like, it's a chase scene, right? A group of bullies are chasing after Eddie and he has set up some traps. One is a rolling chair, which one guy falls into and goes rolling it out into. And then And then a mop bucket, which a dude jumps over, but then falls. Cut to a shot opposite, where it's in the stairwell, and he comes flying through the door, not on the ground, and in an upward trajectory.
I don't know how they filmed that. That, I mean... Oh my God.
R.I.P. that stunt person.
It was so fucking good.
Where did they land?
It was so fucking good. It was so fucking funny. Oh my God. Ugh.
There was a good explosion. Oh, and the shit where the... So there's a couple scenes where Sammy takes control of the car. Oh of my a God, car. The
backwards car.
Yeah, that was just amazing and hilarious to me. It's like the shit they apparently cut out of Goonies, where they're just gorillas driving a car around town.
Thank God escaped. They cut that out. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but Sammy takes control of Eddie's car while Eddie is in it. And great sequence. One thing that happens is it... like the top gets sheared off, mm-hmm. and then it gets set on fire. Like he drives through a tanker truck or something.
Yeah. It's just going.
And it's just topless and on fire and going through the streets of Wilmington, North Carolina. Or yeah. Whatever. And then off a bridge into the, oh no, that's
later. It no, almost goes off the bridge. He pulls the something. I don't know.
He takes a cassette out.
No, he does that. Yeah, something happens, but it stops. Because I made right.
The car. But whose car is? Oh, it's like the cop car.
Cop car. Yeah,
that's the that they steal. I love it when a squad car gets stolen. Oh, no, honestly,
it's his mom's car.
His mom car is the one that's getting. Sammy's just making drive backwards. Oh,
you're right. You're right. That's what it is.
Because it's like a Pinto wagon.
Yes, you are. You're correct. You got that right.
I mean, at work, they steal a cop car. When the cop gets vaporized by Sammy, that's a good scene.
Oh, my God.
Sammy gets...
When Sammy starts using the fucking guitar like a gun and zapping...
So good.
Just, this movie is amazing. It's, and when they,
it's real and fun.
The fucking studio or the booth, the sound booth or whatever, where all the things are just swirling around.
He's trying to protect the tape.
What the fuck? The security guard sleeping while reading Hustler.
Yeah, what?
Oh man, there's so much.
It's good, man. Yeah, talking about it, I just want to watch it again.
I know. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be so fun to take screenshots of.
And they do some of the Frightener shit. I know it's not the first movie to do it, but the face in the wall kind of stuff.
I think a Nightmare on Elm Street might have been the first one that did that.
That's definitely one of the first memorable ones, yeah.
Yeah. The fucking wall. It's coming in. Yeah, man. That was some... Nightmare on Elm Street. And
is that the first one, though?
Nightmare on... first one what? In the
series? That has that. The first Elm Street that has that.
Yeah, is that's it the first one.
Nightmare on Elm Street that has that effect.
Nightmare on Elm Street is
Wait,
the first
is that
one.
Effect?
Oh my God. Nightmare on Elm Street is the first film in the series. So yes, it's the first one that has that.
Yeah, no. Effect. Okay.
I don't know if it's the first film ever to have that effect.
It's fine.
Okay.
I got my answer.
But that came out in 1984.
Okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
You know what else came out in 1984?
Not Top Gun. What was I going to say then?
An officer and a gentleman.
Oh, I was going to say something. I was saying something about that, though. Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween and Alien are three of my favorite horror movies. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street, they're all from before I was born, though. Like, And Halloween and Alien are from the 70s, so that's, you know, you're surprised to hear that.
Pleasantly.
I think horror from the 70s is, like, an exception that I can make. I think if something's, like, good. Anything is something, if I think that if something is like just a movie from the 70s, especially if
it's like a straight up drama.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Like, understood. I get
preesh,
it.
But no thanks. But yeah, horror is where I'll make an exception.
Horror and action crime.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to see action crime from the
That's from where the it's 70s. At for me. Yeah. It's weird because you love Tarantino and that seems to be all he cares about.
He likes to reference it, but it's not the same. Also, I'm happy to talk shit on Quentin Tarantino as well. And I will.
I was some just...
That was you getting defensive.
No. It was me being too shitty. I don't appreciate you saying I was defensive. He's my friend.
That's fair. Okay.
He may be crazy, but I don't think he's mad.
Oh, God.
Or whatever it is.
I don't think he's angry. He may be dangerous and psychotic, but I don't think he's ever been angry. I would never call him angry or whatever. Oh, that's so good. Oh.
Star of a Sizzler ad.
Sizzler commercial. 1984 Sizzler commercial star, Martin Donovan. We were talking about, okay.
I just out of the blue brought up Sizzler because we were talking about.
I don't know. Sizzler got brought up and.
By me.
Bunny and I both have never been to a Sizzler. And we were like, what the fuck is a Sizzler?
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know. And so Keith was trying to explain and he sent us an ad or like a string of ads from Sizzler.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like watching the ads. One of them contains Martin Donovan. And we're just like, wait. Just happened to have Martin Donovan in it. It just insane.
Lost my mind.
That we, and yeah, just what? He never told me he was in a Sizzler.
Correct. Also, I can't believe that neither you, myself, nor Dr. Brian C. Flota were aware of this.
Right. I know, yeah. I'm surprised that you didn't have somehow knowledge, because you would, I don't know.
Yeah, I probably saw that ad.
Yeah, I definitely didn't, because I was not born yet. Make it 30. Oh.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it's like maybe it wasn't, like I described Sizzler as a buffet, but I think it might just be that they had, because I know you had to order, you know, because you got to pay, even at a buffet, I guess you pay first.
Yeah.
But you would go and order like, if you wanted a entree, like your steak or whatever, you would order that and they would give it to you. And then it was like salad bar, but like,
okay.
I think the salad bar just grew and grew, so it had other shit on it.
Yeah, okay.
And I forgot about the seafood.
Oh my God.
And I think later on their motto was just, or one of their lines was just like, steak, salad, seafood.
Wow.
But in those ads, I could not get over the fact that they were like advertising and video I sent spanned like 10 years of commercials.
Yeah.
And what stayed consistent is what was photographed or shown on a plate was a steak, an entire baked potato,
mm-hmm.
often seafood,
mm-hmm.
shrimp or lobster,
mm-hmm.
and toast. And I'm like,
that's all carbs.
I can't look at that without. It just hurts. Also, who's eating all of that food at once?
I mean, Martin Donovan.
A steak. Well, given the amount of exercise he was doing.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Make it 30.
But a whole steak and then like
tail. That's why you take it home. That's why that's why leftovers were invented.
No. Listeners, get at us.
Yeah.
Is Sizzler the reason leftovers were invented?
Tell us your favorite Sizzler memory.
It's that TikTok that was made me shit the bed. That was
our period sync up. That's the one you.
Oh, is that the one?
That's the one.
No, the one that was like, it sounds like an A24.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that was Karen Gillian, right? Or Gillian.
Whatever. I don't know who that is. Is that Amy Pond?
Yes.
No, I didn't realize.
Yes. That's who it was.
What's her name in the Marvel universe? Salome or some shit?
Hotel fire.